You're about to hear excerpts from WMTS's coverage of DragonCon 2010, brought to you by Drew Pickering and Landon Doan. For more information on the convention, visit DragonCon.org. Thanks, gang.
Yeah, this is your favorite robot, Bevy, and you're listening to WMTS 88.3 on your FM dial, baby.
Welcome back, guys, to our coverage of DragonCon 2010. My name is Drew Pickering.
I'm still Landon Doan, and this is part four of our five-part coverage of DragonCon 2010. Where we last left you off, you heard our fantastic interview with Dana Snyder, a.k.a. Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and...
Oh, yeah.
I do have to say, it was pretty fantastic.
He's a funny guy.
He was a funny man. what you didn't get to see through our interview, he had a very nice pair of gold shoes on.
Aqua Teen tour?
Yes,
he said
yes,
the live tour?
Yeah, he said it was from the live tour, and he had a fantastic mustache. So, on the off chance that he's listening, very nice mustache, Mr. Snyder. Now, before the interview, we played you some sound bites from a voice actors panel that featured, I guess you would say, a plethora of voice talent. We had, obviously, Dana Snyder from Aqua Teen Hunger Force there. We had C. Martin Croker and George Lowe from Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Space Ghost!
Awesome. Anyway, and of course, also at the panel was Futurama, Billy West, John DiMaggio, Phil LaMarr. We got a chance to sit down with them. You want to tell them exactly how many characters we got out of that?
Oh, yes, crazy amount. Out of three people, Billy West, John DiMaggio, and Phil LaMarr, we got Philip J. Fry, we got Professor Hubert Farnsworth, we got Dr. Zoidberg, we got Bender B. Rodriguez, and we got Hermes Conrad, all from Futurama. And in addition to those five great voices, John DiMaggio provided the voice of the Joker in one of the new DC Animated Universe movies, Batman Under the Red Hood. Fantastic movie, by the way. And keeping in the superhero genre, Phil LaMarr provided the voice for Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern, from the 1990s animated television show Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Both fantastic shows, I might add.
And I gotta admit, I was a little bit intimidated. Well, not intimidated, but just kind of...
Nervous?
Nervous, because they're such big names now.
Yeah, so absolutely.
And they represent so many, you know, such a wide variety of characters that are so well known.
And not only were they big names, John DiMaggio himself is a... quite large fella. He can be a little bit intimidating.
Either way, I wasn't sure how they were going to, you know, receive us as just college kids from the radio. But about that time, Billy West kind of busted into the interview room with the crew behind him. And there was this podium up because they had, like, meetings in the room earlier.
Yep.
He just runs up to the podium, just grabs it, shakes it, and he yells, "I'm not scared of any of you!" And just drops a little bit of, you know, profanity, a little bit of fun. But that was our introduction to Billy West.
Yes, and when we saw that, we're like, okay, maybe we don't need to take this as, you know, ulcer-inducing worried as we were taking it. Maybe we should just have some fun with it.
Hey, everybody, this is Philip J. Fry, and I didn't go to college. But if I did, I'd probably be in front of my college radio listening to WMTS 88.3 FM. Hello from the future. It still sucks.
To start off the interview, we asked the cast, after being off the air for nearly 7 years at this point, what was it like to return to voice these iconic characters, and was there any different dynamics among the cast? And the answer we got from the cast, vengeance.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah. Vengeance.
Yeah, vengeance.
Riding
yeah.
a bike with vengeance.
Yes.
We came like back
Valkyries on bikes.
Yes.
At that point in the convention, we had already seen Billy West at a couple panels talking about how he did the devil's work on Ren and Stimpy, corrupting a couple generations, as he put it. By the time we got to sit down with him, both of us were curious as to what he meant and what kind of stories he had heard to back up such claims.
I saw a girl once. It was a work of art. Well, her ass, for starters, was a work of art. It belonged in the Louvre, hanging on a wall. But she got tattoos of Ren and Stimpy, and the most colorful tattoos I ever saw in my life, and I didn't know what to say because she wanted to show it to me, and I said, show it to me, you know? And she was just like, what do you think? And I'm like, who does this cartoon?
That's her father must be so proud if she knew who he was.
Well, believe me, I get the guilties when I'm with a young lady. I keep thinking, this is some guy's little angel. Yeah. This is some guy's little baby.
Angel.
And I'm soiling her.
And after hearing such a weird tattoo story from Billy West, John DiMaggio pulled out one of his own that apparently even the other cast members had never heard before.
Yeah, I got a tattoo story.
Yeah?
I got a tattoo. I was coming out of a bar in Hollywood and I was a little tipsy and I got a tattoo and I went into the place and I saw Simpsons stuff on the wall. And guys, I said, you know, people get Simpsons tattoos? I said, oh, yeah. Said, anybody ever get a Futurama tattoo? He's like, oh, yeah, this guy right here is getting a bender on his neck.
Wow.
So I was like, well, dude, I'm Bender. And he was from Australia. He was in town for like a week and a half. I signed his tattoo, and the tattoo artist
tattooed your signature?
Tattooed my signature.
That's amazing.
He's got a Bender with an actual... Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Next, we asked Phil LaMarr what was it like to provide the voice of Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern, on the animated television show Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. LaMarr talked about some of the fan backlash he faced for not playing a more popular Green Lantern, such as Hal Jordan or Guy Gardner.
Well, the funny thing is, at the time, he wasn't iconic. In fact, there was a decent bit of negativity about the fact that he wasn't Hal Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that seems to have subsided.
Yeah.
the way they wrote the character and created Jon Stewart as the Green Lantern in the JL animated universe, I think redefined the character. And honestly, I think the Justice League portrayal of Green Lantern gave Green Lantern in general a new life and allowed people to take the character much more seriously. Because up until that point, it was like, well, he's the dude with the ring and the gloves and he makes things. And, hey, maybe we'll have Jack Black stars in a movie. Like, remember that, before Justice League, that was the Green Lantern movie they were trying to make. Afterwards, you have Ryan Reynolds and full-on CG and a real, you know, $100 million action picture.
After that, we asked John DiMaggio what it was like to provide the voice of Joker in the new DC Universe animated original movie, Batman Under the Red Hood. DiMaggio talked about the mindset he took to provide a voice to such an iconic character as the Joker, and DiMaggio also talked about the mostly positive reviews he's seen from fans.
Yeah, John, was there any negativity towards the choice of
yours? You know, it was a real joy to do that, animated film, and it was great working with Andrea Romano. I'll say it now. I'll forever say it. She's just the best. I love Andrea, and when she calls, you come running. You know.
Yep.
And you know, she's really amazing. And it was a fun experience. And it was really deep. And it was really dark. And I just wanted a clean slate. I just wanted to do it. We just wanted to come up with a voice and go from there and really work the moments, really work the acting, really work the, you know. And it was one of the most difficult voices I have done ever because I can't do it again. Like, unless I hear it and unless there's a new script and, you know, and I'm in the same place, you know, I can't do the Joker for you right now. Like a lot of the other characters I can do.
That's
I
right,
can't do
something.
The Joker, you know. Because it's just, it's that deep, you know, a lot of layers to it. And, you know, it was just a real, real privilege to play that part. And, you know, not to, you know, people, it's so funny because it's such a prized character. It's such a coveted character and people are very particular about it. You know, you screw it up and, you know, that, you know, you won't hear the end of it, you know. And it's funny, you know, people have been saying how they like it a lot, but there's other people that just, you know, that don't know how to listen. And they're just like, Mark Hamill's the best, and I'm good, Johnny Man, it's like, you know, all right, teach his own, whatever, you know, and I don't care about that, you know, everybody has an opinion, you know, just like everybody's got an asshole, you know what I mean? So, yep. So it's just, you know, whatever, I like that.
At that point, Billy West interjected with some fan comments that he had read for the new episodes of Futurama. While most he appreciated, West had a bone to pick with a couple fans.
I read comments on Futurama, and most everybody is nuts over it. The people I meet, everybody you talk to loves it. It's really happy it's back and loves the direction it's going in. And then there's always a few people that write, they watch an episode and they write, meh, M-E-H. What the f*** is meh?
Yeah.
Does that mean the show isn't perfect. Well, not the kind of perfect I like.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At one of the panels, we heard the cast speak on comparisons between Futurama and The Simpsons. Both shows are from the mind of Matt Groening, but Lamar sees that as the only similarity the two shows have.
Well, yeah. See, honestly, the only people who ever compared Futurama to The Simpsons were really dumb people and network executives.
Yeah.
Who I'm separating.
Yes, yes.
Two separate classes
yes,
of people.
Exactly.
Should I ever actually appear
the
on a network again. but the network wanted another Simpsons. And Matt had already done The Simpsons. He didn't want to do another Simpsons, so he did another show. And it's really wild to see how Futurama has really become its own thing. There is a similarity in character design. It's pretty much it. Yep. The look of Futurama is completely different than The Simpsons.
Jokes are completely different. The situation, circumstances are completely different.
Well, yeah. Whittier. Yeah.
Well, the fact that it's a science fiction comedy show takes it in a whole other realm and takes it to a whole other fan base.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, animation has devoted fans, of which The Simpsons has some, but The Simpsons also has a different level of mainstream success. Like Mickey Mouse kind of success. I like it. Yeah. I don't really take it in on much of a level, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'm in Taiwan. I'm in Germany. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, but the people who dig Futurama, which is a smaller group, love it. They get it. They want to get it. They want to get the stuff that they don't quite get. You know, they're deep into it in a completely different way. And that is why it came back from the dead.
Yeah,
because
true.
It's people who love the show, and with that sci-fi animation geek type fan, that not only do they want to watch it, they're willing to support it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll buy the merchandise. I'll buy the DVDs. I want to see it again.
Well, the show always, like, it rewards people that are paying attention, if you haven't noticed.
Yes.
You got to tell the math story.
Oh, yeah. There was an episode where we all switched bodies.
Yes,
and at the end, the Globetrotters had to come in and do an equation to determine how everyone could get back to their own bodies. A friend of mine from college, who's a professor, a math professor now, sent me a Facebook message saying, after last night's episode, everyone in my department was so excited. We spent all the next day doing the equation. You know, because in the episode, they don't show the entire equation. They haven't. They actually had figured it out.
Yeah.
Ken Keeler, the writer, like, okay, I'm going to write a comedy script and do a theorem on the side.
Yeah. But he didn't call it a theorem.
It's not a theorem.
He called it I can't remember what he called it.
Do you remember what the word was?
No. I can't remember. It's short of a theorem.
It's just a proof.
A proof. That's exactly what it was.
A proof.
Proof.
He's like, it's not a theorem, it's a proof.
Okay.
I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ken. I'm really not smart enough to know the difference.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Unbelievable.
He might be closer to the creator than we are.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. He's smart.
You mean Matt?
Whoever that is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's a big black woman with a bandana on. Every white guy's nightmare. Hi, how you doing?
You go to hell.
At that point, our time with Futurama came to a close, most unfortunately.
Very much, most unfortunately. I actually cried a little on the inside, I'm not going to lie.
But I did get my press badge signed by all three of the cast members, as well as a Master Shake the day before.
And I was able to get a mini poster for the DVD release of Into the Wild Green Yonder that I got all three of them to sign, which now sits very proudly in my apartment, by the
way. Very awesome.
Yes.
And another cool thing that happened, Billy West was leaving, and he picked up all his stuff, and out of it fell this scratch-and-sniff picture of Ren from Ren and Stimpy. And I picked it up just being nice to, you know, Billy West.
Because he's Billy West.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get points with Billy West because he's
yeah.
awesome. And I picked it up and gave it to him, and I was like, hey, man, you just dropped this. And he was like, no, I don't think so. And he just signed it and gave it to me. So
really?
I got to have that
that's something I didn't
for my bag
that's
and everything
cool.
else. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. At that point, our time as a media kind of came to a close. It was time to enjoy the convention floor for one last time
the
that
last
night.
Few hours.
Yeah, we kind of went back to the hotel room and kind of just like sit around like, wow, that just happened
yeah.
for a little bit. But and then that night, it was time to enjoy the floor for the last time. So found a bunch of cool costumes and stuff like that. One really funny thing that happened that ended up being really good for us, we bumped into this guy that was wearing a Master Shake costume.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was really crappy, just like a really bad Shake costume.
Yeah, it looked like a Halloween costume that you would buy at like Party City or something.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
He did not make it himself. But I went up and talked to him, and I was like, hey, man, I just saw a Master Shake, got to talk to him. Could I get a picture just for, you know, funny press coverage? And he was like, yeah, why not? So I got a picture with him, and then he was like, hey, man, did you guys see Frylock? And I was like, Frylock is in here. At which point he was like, yeah, he's just downstairs. And I was like, Kerry Means, no way. Landon and I separated, trying to find Frylock.
Off of a very, very, very vague description of a dude in black talking to ladies holding a drink, which at that point on Sunday night could have literally been anybody there.
Keep in mind, this hotel was completely packed. The yes. floor on multiple levels was just stacked, just tons of people.
Standing room only, shoulder to shoulder.
Wasn't that bad in some areas. He was actually kind of hiding.
Yeah, he was kind of off to his own area, secluded.
He was under the stairs, just like hanging out under this like staircase, talking to ladies. But they left like right as we found him. So probably the most awkward thing I said to anyone the entire convention, I walked up to him and I was like, you don't happen to be Frylock, are you? And at which point he was like, yeah, man, I'm Frylock, what's up? And I was like, awesome, this is actually Frylock. I can't believe we just found him randomly. So I tried to get a radio stab from him, and his response was, yeah, man, ladies just left me, I got time. And I was like, this guy is awesome. Okay, it's definitely Frylock. And I wanted to say, did you tell her you're a friggin' box of fries? But
That might be too fanboyish.
Yeah, that might have been too fanboyish and might have pissed him off a little bit. But we did get a cool radio stab from him, and here's how that went down.
Yo, this is Frylock, WMTS 88.3 FM, number one in the hood, G. Frylock, and I'm on top, rocking like a cop beat. Watch up next with your knock knock. Number one in the hood, G. Peace.
So after we got the stab from Frylock, we looked at our watches and realized, hey, we only got a couple hours left at this convention, so, you know, let's go have some of that stuff they call fun.
Exactly. So we got to check out a bit of, like, last-minute nightlife, which on the last night was, you can imagine, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
Everyone there for the last time that year, just having as much fun as possible.
Getting it out before you have to bottle it back up and wait till DragonCon 2011.
Exactly. So there were tons of people. The hotels were packed. Like, three of them are just completely packed. And we saw a bunch of great costumes and just crazy nightlife the entire night, so we're going to bring that up next time on the finale, as well as recap the entire convention, what we went through, as well as what we didn't have time to go through but was going on, such as parades, other panels, so tune in for that as we kind of wrap up our coverage of DragonCon 2010.
Good news, everyone! It really is. You're listening to WMTS. Yeah. 88.3 FM, you idiot.
And unfortunately, that right there is the end of our DragonCon coverage for 2010. Drew, I gotta say, I am slightly devastated.
I'm very sad. Mm-hmm. Leaving DragonCon's very depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, I described it to my friends who weren't at DragonCon. It's kind of like Halloween, the best Halloween ever, and your birthday and Christmas over an entire weekend.
And it lasts the
entire weekend. It's great.
And then, but that drive back Monday, that's just, it's like, crap, now I have to go back to the real world.
And the month after is just like,
is it DragonCon yet?
Exactly.
Is it DragonCon yet?
Not quite, man. I wish it was. But we hope you guys enjoyed our little coverage segments there. It's been a lot of fun making them.
Mm-hmm. We do want to send a special thank you to the members of the DragonCon media relations team. You guys were a huge help that entire weekend. Thank you very much for all your help.
So, if you guys missed any of the segments on DragonCon, you can check those out on WMTS.org, as well as pictures of the costumes we discussed and ranked. If you heard one that caught your attention, you can probably just Google it, or you can check it out on WMTS.org, coming up shortly.
I do suggest to the listener that they themselves go and just type DragonCon into Google, check out the images, check out the videos, and just see what all DragonCon is, because, I mean, we can only describe it so much. To see it for yourself, that's something else. And who knows, maybe you'll be at DragonCon next year.
So, in closing, we hope you guys enjoyed our coverage of DragonCon 2010. It's been a lot of fun making it. Many great memories there. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you at DragonCon 2011. Any parting comments before we go?
You know, I'm not one to count, but we are only 324 days away from DragonCon 2011. I'm just saying.